God called me when I was 17 years into evangelism, but I got saved when I was 13 years. So I'm so glad for the decision I made till now, forever. Amen. I'm glad to have this time again together with you. Thank you so much, Pastor Alistair. You know, when I was in Cape Town, I think 2016, I called him Alistair and was saying, who's Alistair? So, but thank you so much with your wife, Esther, for having me and all the church. And it's a privilege to be here again. I'm here shortly again for 3 weeks. This is my sixth time in South Africa. I've been coming every year by the grace of God. And what a blessing to serve in this wonderful nation of South Africa. I'm so glad that I'm here again. Greetings from my country, and particularly from my church, Quarity Discipleship Church, where I minister. And that's the same church I've grown up into from 2003 till now. And also from our pastors, Bishop Kichuru Jeremy. And also greetings from my wife, Justine and Bethany. Amen. I'm married. We have one beautiful daughter. She's making 9 months this time. But I'm here for a mission because God sent me. It's not always easy to leave your family behind. But it's only when God has called you to serve. Amen. I want to share with you this morning what God has put in my heart. And I will not be for a long time, but we shall take much more time to pray. And this is the message God has given unto me. It's yielding to the Holy Spirit. Yielding to the Holy Spirit. Personally, in my life testimony, I've been privileged to have different encounters in my life. And I've not been filled by the Holy Spirit once. And I believe even us, we are not filled by the Spirit of God only once, because it's not an occasion. The Bible tells us in John 3:34 that He gives a spirit without measure. So we, in our lives, every day, we need Him as a friend, as a teacher, as a comfort. But He fills us every day. So it's not an occasion, it's not like a party that you just go and enjoy yourself for one time. He should be there every day of your life, and we must yield unto Him. In my ministry, the miracles I've seen when I go out for ministry, I've witnessed Him. I've seen the crippled walking, I've seen the blind eyes open. I've seen Him providing from nothing. You've seen the truck there in the slides. That truck is just nearly bought recently in March. I think it was in May. I've been preaching out and hiring trucks every time. And I said, Lord, I'm tired of these people who are giving a time always to make contact with them. Be here in time, be here in this time, and they don't come. So I asked the Lord God, please bless me with a truck. And I never knew when that was going to come, because I asked Him for a purpose, not for my comfort, but for the missions where God is sending me. And the Lord just sees somebody I've never met in my life in person in the U.S. because I've never been there. And someone tells me one night and tells me, Sam, where are you? Send me your bank details. Just after 3 days, $10,000 in my account. And tells me, go and buy the truck for missions. And those equipments I have, I bought them last year by the grace of God. I was supposed to go to the U.S. and they denied me a visa. And I asked the Lord God, that if the visa's been denied, now what is next? God tells me, the Holy Spirit reminded me, says, Sam, you have a mission to buy the PA system. And that's the Lord, where's the money? He told me, go in the town and begin to bargain for the equipment. And without anything, I just went to town and began just to bargain. How much the speaker? How much is the keyboard? And they tell me this how much. So I made up a budget of almost $7,000. And I was like, God, I've done what you told me, and I brought before you. So I prayed over it. Just after a month, my visa was denied. Somebody in the U.S. still, I've never met in life, sent me $6,000 and tells me, God told me to give you this money. Go buy the equipment. And it's not been because I'm so much privileged, but it's by the Spirit of God, that when we obey Him, He makes Himself available for us. He makes Himself there. So in less than a year, I was able to build a platform that you saw there. And all those stuff, they cost $20,000. But if you ask me how much I earn every month, I can't tell, because I'm a faith minister. And all these missions, I've been able to see God working. The last mission I had was in July. I counted from September last year to July this year. I led 200 souls to Christ. And we baptized many of them. And most of them now, they are in churches. That work is not for just a person or individuals, but God has chosen people for that purpose. And it's not died by anything but by the power of the Holy Spirit. The Bible says in Acts chapter 1 verse 8, I want to stand there. Acts 1, 8. One of my favorite. And I want to remind us today that there's a reason why we have the Holy Spirit in our lives every day as we minister, as we serve, as we are with our families. There is something so important about Him, the Holy Spirit. Acts 1, 8, it says, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and even the remotest parts of the earth. The word yielding means to allow someone or something to move in front of you or before oneself. To give someone or something a right of way. When we are yielding to the Holy Spirit, we are giving Him the platform in our lives, and we are making Lord be the Lord of our lives by the power of your Spirit and go ahead of us. That's when we yield unto Him. When you yield the Holy Spirit, it means you move, and then He comes to you. So the Bible says, Jesus spoke to the disciples and told them that when the Holy Spirit shall come upon you, you shall receive power. In Micah 3 verses 8, it says, on the other hand, I am filled with power, with the Spirit of the Lord, and with justice and courage. The Spirit of God gives us courage when He brings power to us. Because when you have power inside of you, it's not the power of the human wisdom, but the power of the Spirit of God. And surprisingly, I think last year, I was in Cape Town. I was telling the people in Cape Town that the same Spirit who was in the beginning, it's been the same Holy Spirit in the time of the Elijahs, the same Spirit of God in the time of Jesus, and even now is working. So we've got no excuse in our life that maybe it was the time of Elijah, time of David, time of Gideon's. It's also our season. It's also our generation that we are privileged to walk with Him, to lead us, that we may experience His goodness and also His rebuke at the same time. So when we yield the Holy Spirit, we allow Him to come and change our lives for the better. Because even when we pray, the Bible says, Romans 8:26, we do not know how to pray. He knows our weaknesses. In our weaknesses, He's there. We may not know how to pray because of the obstacles, because of the hindrances, because of the situations around us. That's the time that the Bible says He groaned inside of Him words beyond utterance. You know Hannah in the Bible. If you read very well in chapter 1, 1 Samuel, the Bible says she was in the temple. And the Bible said that she, her lips were just like a drunken person. She could talk, but you could not hear her words. Then Eli was like, you man, girl of your drunkenness. Because he could not understand the depression and anxiety of this woman being barren for many years. But she continued to pray. Was beyond utterance. You couldn't hear those words. And that time that you could not speak out anything but your spirit is praying, that's a time of giving birth. It's time to bring life to something. But that life is only possible by the Spirit of God. Jesus said that the word I've spoken to you, they are spirit because the Spirit of God gives life. So if you need the life of God, not the life of self, you must let the Holy Spirit walk through your life and prune your life and make you worthy before the Father. We have the small foxes in our lives. You know, the Bible says that catch for the small foxes, because these foxes are ruining our vineyards when they're blossoming. in Song of Solomon 2 verse 15. They could not catch the foxes. So they say, catch for us the foxes. The Holy Spirit can help us to catch the foxes in our lives. And He convicts us of righteousness, judgment, and sin. He brings us the awareness that, yes, we are not worthy before the Father, but now we must come and sanctify the blood of Jesus and by the word of His life that He has given to us. Because the word of God is life. Last three weeks back, I was in Durban. Because I came here early September, I went back home. I was in Durban, and on the 15th, I preached a sermon about catching the small foxes. And in the congregation, there was a young man, 30 years, I think my age, because next time I'm 30 years. He's called Kenton. When I was preaching in the service, he was crying. I never knew why he was crying. When I prayed for him, and the Lord just laid him down, I never knew anything about him, but my spirit kept on holding me and say, Sam, go back and see that man. So I asked them, where is he stay? They drove me 15 minutes to his house. So the moment I met him in the house, he looked in my eyes, he began to cry. And asked him, Kenton, why are you crying? He told me, you don't know that you spoke to my life and I've got so many foxes in my life to kill. One, he tried to commit suicide 7 times this year. Committing suicide 7 times this year. And when he sees his neck here, there is a cut. He cut his throat and God just preserved him anyway. But it's the Holy Spirit that helped him to be aware that where you are, depression can help you nothing, but you can only come to the Savior. And Kenton held my hands and told me, Pastor Sam, this is the only last hope that I have in life. And I told him, you need Jesus. I led him to Christ. His wife is a Hindu also. Kenton was a Hindu. His wife is still a Hindu. But they keep on messaging me and say, God is at work in Kenton's life. The last 3 weeks, his life has ever changed than ever before. Why? The Holy Spirit. When we yield unto Him, He's able to work through our lives to make us as God wishes us to be. In the image of God, we must let Him come through our lives and work through our lives. The Holy Spirit, when you yield to Him, He will use you. So the Bible says, when you shall receive Him, you receive the power. And this power is not for the sitting in a chair and being your coach in a house. It's to become a witness of Jesus Christ. You know, that's the purpose. To become a witness of Jesus. When you receive that power, it's for us to be witnesses for Christ. And the Holy Spirit is able to help us to achieve that, what Christ began. I always said there is unfinished work. Why? Because there's still people who are getting lost in their lives and they have not come to know Him as Lord and Savior of their lives. We must go to them. That's why we have the Holy Spirit. Receive this power, and this power work through our lives. It is not by power, not by might, but the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God enables us. He gives us the capacity. He acquaints us to be He that He wants us to be. You know, I'm remembering this man in the Bible. In Acts of Apostles 18. There's a man called Apollos. The Bible says he was an eloquent man. He could teach very well. And the Bible says that he also preached the baptism of John the Baptist. And he also preached Christ. And the Bible said that Aquila and Priscilla, when they heard about him, the Bible said they got him on the side. And they began to teach him. But he was in Ephesus that time. So the Bible said that Apollos, then he went on because Priscilla and Aquila, they recommended him to other brethren for him to go and minister. When he left Ephesus. And in chapter 19, the Bible says that when Apollos was in Ephesus, Paul came. No, when Apollos went to Corinth, Paul came to Ephesus. And the Bible says he began to ask them, did you receive the Holy Spirit? And they told him, what Holy Spirit are you talking about? Now, what kind of baptism did you receive? So they heard about Christ, but they never heard about the Holy Spirit. And the Bible says that Paul laid hands upon them and they were baptized with the Holy Spirit, and also they were baptized in water. So it's God who let Paul to come in Ephesus. But yes, Ephesus had issues. They had their gods, Diana. But the power of God, when it comes, it changes the atmosphere. People yield the Holy Spirit because it's the work of the Holy Spirit to convict people, but it's our work to proclaim the message. It's our work to speak the word of God, but the Spirit of God brings life to what you speak. That's what the Bible says. When the word preached the gospel, the Lord worked with them, confirming his word by the signs and wonders that followed them. As it was in the beginning, the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface and the face of the deep. When God said, let it be light, it was, because the Spirit of God brings life to his word. He activates the word of God. I'll give a very good example. It's like when we sing these songs, they are written. They are written. We just read them. But when you sing them, uttering them out with your lips as praise and worship to God, it's the Spirit of God that makes them to become a rhema in your life. They are logos, but they become a rhema, spoken word, and that is what makes a difference in your life. That's why the religious people, they always read the Bible and say, religious people, they just read a word and they don't yield to him to walk through their lives. But when you yield the Holy Spirit, when you read this word, exactly the Spirit of God will be there. When you yield to him, he will make what you read, what you worship, become life in you. The Holy Spirit. We need him back in the church. We need him back in our lives. We need him every day. Not just for a day, but every day in our life, because you can't live without him. You can't live. You have no breath in you without him. The Spirit of God. Last night I was praying, and just the word of God came to me, to the rhema. And Lord was saying, if the Holy Spirit does not bathe it, it doesn't have life. If the Holy Spirit does not bathe it, it doesn't have life. If you need life, you must let him deliver. Why? Because he speaks from what is from the throne and brings to you. You are only feeding on what he gets from the Father and brings to you. So you cannot live without him. You can't live without him. And even you cannot pray without him. You can't even give without him. You can't even worship without him. You know, it's a pity, whenever I remember about Samson, that the time that he was aware, he was not aware, the Bible says, he was not aware that the presence of God had departed from him. He wasn't aware. And became a muser, an entertainer. Once anointed, he is becoming an entertainer. What a shame. He was anointed. He did great works. You talk about Samson. He broke down the lions. He fought the Philistine. But at one moment, the presence of God was not there. And he never knew it was not there. How many times that you are aware that his presence is not with you? Huh? That's a very dangerous place to be. That you live without his presence is not good for you. Not even myself. You cannot live without the presence of God. You know, just a few weeks back, I was doing my study. And the Bible says that the Lord spoke, when Moses was from the mountain of Sinai and spent 40 days and 40 nights and he came down, he found them making the children of Israel, they had made some calf, you know, the God, to worship, because God had led to come, Moses led to come back to them, and they just chose to make the God card and the worship. And this is something that's very, very interesting. God tells them, I'm going to send my angel before you, but I'll not be with you. When God told them, I I'll send my angel to go before you because I cannot live among these obstinate people. That meant that the presence of God, not God himself, his presence was not with them, but God let his angel to lead them. That's something to think about. You go back and pray about. Is it possible that you can have the angel of the Lord in your life without his presence? Like you're thinking the same thing I thought at the same time. You have his presence, but then you have the angel with you, but you don't have God in person. Because God was willing to lead them, but because of their sin and apostasy, he said, I will not go before you, but I shall give you my angel. And I'm realizing that sometime without his presence, we can even read the word of God professionally, but not devotionally. I'll repeat that. Because we are used with him and say, this is our God. When you come to him, you just come because you know you are his child. And sometimes we become so much familiar with his word, at the time we come to read his word professionally, but not devotionally. It's easy to preach. It is easy to worship. It is easy to do anything, but you will find yourself that you are doing some of the times professionally because you know how to do it. You have the skill, you know how to do it. But without his presence. Something also struck me when I was studying that time. That at times, you know, we serve God by his grace. Not so. That was say, we've been given the grace of God to minister. And also being given faith. But at times, we also find ourselves that because of the grace God has given us, we continue to serve. But sometimes when the presence is not there. That's why here people want to commit suicide. There's a pastor last month, in August, there's a pastor in the U.S., 30 years, he committed suicide. 30 years. Why? Depression. But he was preaching every day on Sunday. He was preaching, serving. What he preached did not bring life to him. Because he did not let the work of the Holy Spirit in his life. So, we must come back to his presence. And let him yield to us as we yield unto him. That his power may work through us. The Bible said, but we have this treasure in the earthen vessels, that the surpassing greatness of his power may not be from us, but from him. And Paul said to the Corinthian church, he told them, when I came to you, I don't preach you in the wisdom of men, taught by men, but with the power and demonstration of the Spirit. So even when you preach, when minister, when you speak out any word, just be careful. You don't speak in your own strength. The Spirit of God must breathe on that. So we need him back in our lives. We need him back in the ministry. Now something that also was very, very interesting. The Lord told me last night, let the Holy Spirit make it. For the whole process, while you yield unto him, he'll get it from the brokenness that he can mend you again, so he can make you again. You got to be who the Holy Spirit needs you to be so it can work through and in your life. Do not yield to self, but him. When he moves, you shall move. When the Holy Spirit moves, you shall move. It's always very important that when he moves, you be aware of the season. So this brings us to being aware of the seasons in our lives. Because seasons are going to change every day, but that's the moment the Holy Spirit is moving. And is leading us for the better. Amen? You must come back to him and ask him, Lord, give me your Holy Spirit. Give me your Holy Spirit. You need him. When he moves, you must move. Yielding means you move. You let him take control. Without him, you cannot live, you can't be successful. There's one prayer also one time in our church. I was preaching one of the evenings. I was telling them that how many of you want success in life? Let me ask you, how many of you want to be successful in life? Everyone. Now, I want to ask a question. How many of you also want your life to be fulfilled? Now, between success and fulfillment, what do you choose? Huh? Fulfillment. You find people, you look at them and they are very successful. You admire them. But when you come to them and you ask them what has made you be where you are, and they'll tell you, you see me successful, but there's something I missed. I'm not fulfilled in life. It's the Spirit of God that brings fulfillment in our lives, not just success. Because success, everyone needs it. But fulfillment is when you adhere to what the kingdom has purposed for your life. Because it pleases the Father that all fullness will dwell in Christ Jesus. And if you are in him and he's inside of you, what will happen? You have fulfillment. I no longer need fulfillment of men, but in the fulfillment of the kingdom. So at the same time, you don't need the fullness of people, you need the fullness of Christ through his Spirit. His Spirit. That's all what we need. I know you're thinking now. You think about him. That's a silence. The Holy Spirit is working every day, every second. He's here. He's in Uganda. He's another place. He's everywhere. But he makes himself available for those and also who want to yield to him. And it's very, very dangerous to grieve the Holy Spirit. Because, you know, it's not good to grieve a friend. The Bible says in Isaiah 63 verses 10. He says that they gripped him and he became their enemy. That's a very dangerous place. Isaiah 63 verse 11. I think it's 10. They gripped the Holy Spirit in the wilderness and he became their enemy. We do not have to grieve him. We must befriend him and become a friend. So even when you know you've grieved the Holy Spirit, you must repent and change and say, Lord, here I come back again. Mend me again. You go in the potter's house experience. And let him, Lord, mend me again. If you want to break me. But yes, I shall live again. Because the Bible says that he tears us, but he mends us and heals us again. And say, let us on press on to know the Lord because he shall heal us. We need the Holy Spirit. The church without the Holy Spirit is a religious church. And the church is not a building, it is you. So without him, you become like any other person. The presence of God by the Spirit of God distinguishes us from other people. Distinguishes us from other people. That's why Moses was saying, Lord, if you don't go with us, don't let us come from this place. For how shall they distinguish us from other nations? So the Holy Spirit, by the presence of God, separates you from other people. The Spirit of God. And you know we are going to pray. You know, we can talk about the Holy Spirit every day for many hours. But when you've got to yield to him, he makes himself available. When he moves, you must move. What happened in the Acts of Apostles? Chapter 1, verse 8. He tells them, when you receive the Holy Spirit, you become powerful, and you shall become my witnesses, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the modest parts of the world. But this is what happened. They so much concentrated in Jerusalem. And now Acts 8 verses 1 come with persecution. And now you see them going. You see Philip and other Stephen begin to minister. Persecution came. Why? They had stayed so much in one place. So when Acts 1:8 fails in your life, you bring Acts 8 verses 1. Have you got that? When Acts 1 verse 8, you receive it, but it failed to activate what Bible says, then the Lord will bring Acts 8 verse 1, that there was persecution. And now you hear great men coming up to preach the gospel, like Philip and evangelist. Yeah, Stephen, Paul came in as well. The world received the gospel. The Gentiles received the gospel. Thank God. So we're going to take time to pray. And I want us to raise up on our feet. That you're going to pray for yourself. If you are in that place, that literally you feel that there is a virtue in your heart that you want to feel, be filled with the Holy Spirit. That's so important. And our lives shall never remain the same. It's been a short time, but I want to tell you that from this day, it may not be to all of us, but at least there is one person that you shall remember the encounter with him. So we're going to pray. Can I have somebody please? Yeah, thank you so much.